Ryan felt as though concrete blocks were stacked on his chest. Although mild, the pain frightened him. His heart raced so fast that the beats could not be counted. He counseled himself to remain calm, to be still, to let the seizure pass, as it had passed when he had been floating on his surfboard. The difference between then and now was the pain. The racing heart, the weakness, and the dizziness were as disturbing as before, but the added element of pain denied him the delusion that this was nothing more than an anxiety attack. Even as a small child, Ryan had not been afraid of the dark. Now darkness itself seemed to be the weight on his chest. The black infinity of the universe, the thick atmosphere of the earthly night, the blinding gloom in the bedroom pressed each upon the next, and all upon him, relentlessly bending his breastbone inward until his heart knocked against it, as if seeking to be let out of him and into eternity. He grew desperate for light. When he tried to sit up, he could not. The pressure held him down. He discovered that he could push against the mattress with his heels and elbows, gradually hitching backward, three feather pillows compacting into a ramp that elevated his head and shoulders, his skull wrapped against the headboard. The weight on his chest forced him to take shallow inhalations. Each time he exhaled, a sound thinner than a whimper also escaped him, offending the black room like a nail drawn down a chalkboard. After he had hitched into a reclining position, not sitting up but more than halfway there, some strength returned to him. He could lift his arms. With his left hand, he reached blindly for the bedside lamp. He located the bronze base, and his fingers slid along a cast bronze column with a bamboo motif. Before he found the switch, the ache in his chest intensified and swiftly spread to his throat, as if the agony were ink and his flesh an absorbent blotter. The pain seemed to be something that he had swallowed or was regurgitating intact. It blocked his airway, restricted breathing, and pinched his cry of shock into a half note followed by a hiss. He fell from bed. He did not know how it happened. The bed became the floor, leaving him with no awareness of the fall, with only a recognition that mattress had been replaced by carpet. He was not alone in the house, but he might as well have been. At this hour, Lee and Kay Ting, the couple who managed the estate, were asleep in their quarters, on the lowest of the three floors, in the wing of the house farthest from the one that contained Ryan's third-floor master suite. In the same way that he had fallen unawares from bed, he came to the realization that he was dragging himself across the floor, his torso raised on his forearms, legs twitching as feebly as the broken appendages of a half-crushed beetle. Rapidly intensifying, the pain had spread from his throat into his jaw. He seemed to have bitten on a nail so hard that the point had penetrated between two teeth and into the mandible. Suddenly he remembered that the house intercom was part of the telephone system. He could buzz Lee and Kay by pressing 111. They could be here in a minute or two. He did not know in which direction lay the bed, the nightstand, the phone. He had become disoriented. The room was large, but not vast. He should have been able to find his way in the dark. But pain seared, vertigo spun, weakness drained, fear twisted his thoughts until he had no capacity for calculation. Although the fall from bed to floor was only a couple of feet, he seemed to have been cast down from a great height, all grace pulverized on impact, and all hope. His eyes were stung by hot tears, and his throat burned with refluxed stomach acid, and the balefire in his jaw would surely consume the bone and collapse his face. The darkness spun and tilted. He could not crawl farther, but could only clutch the carpet, as though gravity might be repealed and he might be whirled away, weightless, into a void. His heart hammered faster than he could count its blows, at least 200 a minute. Pain spread from his throat into his left arm, radiated across his shoulder and down his back. A prince of the internet, richer than most kings, he lay now as prostrate as any commoner abashed in the presence of royalty, at the mercy of his body, mere clay.